Hey, everybody. This is Zach and Laura, and you're listening to Marriage Therapy Radio. Thanks for joining us. Today, we're talking about some of the principles and themes that are showing up for us in our offices. And it's a cool conversation. Stick around.
Did I tell you that I just bought myself a present for Mother's Day?
No.
I bought myself a mountain bike.
Okay. But you already have a bike. Don't you have like an electric bike?
So yes, we have, but that's like, that is in lieu of a vehicle because we use our electric bike as a grocery getter and just kind of running around town and dropping the kid off at school when that used to happen. But
did you buy it off a homeless guy?
No. Okay. So you know this story. So I do have a bike. I have a road bike. And yes, we did buy my road bike. It's a Bianchi, in case you, any of our listeners are like really into cycling. Yeah. So the story is that we were in downtown Seattle. And if any of my friends that were there, we were with a big crew and we were all going to karaoke and there's like 40 of us and we're highly intoxicated. This was maybe 10 years ago. And anyway, Ryan turns to this homeless man. He goes, "Wow, that is a really nice bike." And the guy responds, "Give it to you for $100. And my husband was like, "Done, sold. Hold on one second." So I was left as ransom. So basically I hung out with this man and Ryan took the bike and he went to an ATM.
Downtown Seattle,
intoxicated, hanging out with men who are, homeless men. And he comes back with $100 and I've been hanging out, just having small talk, getting to know this guy, where he got the bike, which clearly was a hot bike, but, cause it's a Bianchi. I mean, that's like a several $1,000 bike. Anyway, Ryan gives him $100 and we go off, we ride off into the dark with our new cycling bike, but I need a mountain bike. So I bought myself a mountain bike and I spent a pretty penny on it. I'm really excited to have it arrive and I'm just becoming a true outdoorsy woman. Just saying. I'm adding. Yeah, I got a truck. I got a dog. I got a trailer, like a camper. Now I've got my mountain bike. I'm just really turning into my mom.
Right on. Hey, do you know what happens if you play a country song backwards?
What?
You get your truck back, your dog back, and your wife back.
You just come up with these, don't you? Do you spend a good quality time just finding jokes and reading them?
Oh, I don't know. I pay attention. Mary and I were on a walk the other day. By the way, we did this very cool thing that I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast or not, but if you're bored and you're listening and you want something to do, Mary and I walked around our neighborhood and we took 50 pictures of like weird yard art or strange landmarks or signs that were out of place or somebody's cool color of their house. And we put them on an Instagram page called Neighborhood Hunt. And we shared it with everybody in our neighborhood that takes a walk and people just walk around. And when they find them, they just put a little heart on it. And it's just a way that it kind of makes the neighborhood walk a little bit more fun because everybody around here is doing that. But when we were out, we saw, what did we do? Something happened. We saw a pig. We saw a big old pig, huge pig, like pet pig, like on a leash. And then we started trying to figure out if we could make a joke about it, but we couldn't come up with one, but we came up with this one, which is, do you know what you call the horses that live next door to you?
What?
Your neighbors. Mary was like, I wrote a joke. I was like, pretty sure somebody had wrote that joke, but anyway.
Too much time on your hands.
Well, doesn't everybody have too much time on their hands?
Not I. I have been so busy. In fact, my husband has been just trying to figure out his solution to everything is to just throw money at it. So here I am, I'm homeschooling during the day and I'm managing, you know, keeping the house functioning, but I'm also working at night with my clients. And I sent you a text last night and just said like, "Hey, what's going on with your client load? Cause mine's blowing up. I'm having, you know, 3 new clients every week for the last month," which is fine, unless they all decide to come back to see you. And then you have to figure out where to put those new clients. So I've been busy. And my husband to me says today, "Hey, I think we need to get like a full-time nanny, somebody that can do the dishes and do the laundry and like raise our child." or you could do the dishes maybe while you're on a conference call, just saying. Anyway, What are you seeing in your practice? I'm just kind of curious.
I do want to talk about this because I think it's perfectly in line with something that I think is relevant to us, our conversation today. But let me ask you this question. I don't know if this is offline or not, but when you take a new client, do you charge for your first session?
I do.
Yeah. I had somebody I had a new client the other day and we spent the whole hour talking. And at the end they were like, well, thanks for the free consultation. And I was like, what?
Sorry.
That's not how that works. But
yeah. Anyway, so, okay.
I realize how important it is to clarify early on. But
absolutely. Yeah. I will tell you that there is something that I do that a lot of other therapists don't do. And it's that I don't charge more for my first session. In fact, I give them more. So most people, if you and listeners, you probably are not aware of this, but when you have a first session with someone, typically if you're going as a couple, the couple session is going to be more expensive than individual therapy. That's pretty common. And typically the first session is longer than, it's basically called an intake session. It's longer than standard everyday sessions. And your therapist is going to charge you more for that. And what I have done is my whole goal is that I want to remove all of the barriers that keep people from getting help. And one of the barriers is swallowing that big pill of whatever that fee is going to be for that initial session and not knowing whether or not you want to go back and see that person. So I charge for the first session the same rate that I charge for all others, but I give them a complimentary additional 25 minutes, which feels like a gift. And then also, I do a relationship assessment. So the Gottman relationship assessment with every client that comes to see me, and I don't charge them for that. That comes out of my pocket. So it's kind of two gifts in one. So I might be here, like people are like, oh, let's go see Laura. She sounds better than Zach. It's true. I am a better therapist. Just kidding.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, for some people, I always say rapport is what matters the most. So you're going to work for some clients and you're not going to work for others. And
I always refer and say, you know what, I say this, you have to kiss a lot of frogs, the frogs being the therapist, before you find your prince. And you might smooch with me and realize that Zach is really your prince. And that's just fine. The Epic Wives Experiment begins on May 18th. I don't want you to miss out on registration, so hop over to laurasexperiment.com and claim your seat at the table of epicness. Laura's Experiment is spelled L-A-U-R-A-S experiment.com. This is a month-long experiment jam-packed with weekly live teachings, three experiments a week to put into action what you have learned, live Q&A calls, accountability to keep you honest, and peer support from other Epic Wives. For only $59, you can join the hundreds of women from around the globe and participate in this hands-on opportunity to learn, grow, and act in your relationship. Head over to laurasexperiment.com to register.
So let me go back to your question, which is, what am I seeing in my practice? And I've come upon something that kind of blew my mind. But one thing I'm very good at as a therapist is I can contain and recall your whole story. Mm-hmm. Like if I meet with you and you tell me about your, you know, the affair you had 7 years ago with the stay at home dad or something, I'm going to remember that forever. And I don't know what that comes from. I'm not actually that good at it in other places. Like my memory I wouldn't say I have a great memory, but as a therapist, I really can recall your whole story. I have found that's more challenging now that I'm meeting clients online. And I think there's something about,
interesting.
I think there's something about Zoom fatigue, which is, you know, I see clients online. I help my kid with her homework online. I talk to you online. I do game night with my family online. So my therapy office is becoming less, contained. So the container of your story is bigger and it's becoming more complex for me.
Yeah.
So as a result, what I've learned is, I've really kind of been leaning on themes a lot. So rather than like specific issues or topics, like I'm coming back and I'm realizing that a lot of my client hours are pretty similar in that I'm having to remind couples that they have to focus on a certain number of themes here because we're in this kind of holding pattern globally, but also therapeutically, there's only so much that you can do to keep moving the needle forward. So I want to talk a little bit about one of those themes in particular that we brought up to each other, but there's probably a half a dozen that I kind of find myself returning to over and over and over and over and over again.
Do you think they could be chapters of a new book?
Oh, maybe. I've got book fatigue right now, though, so I'm trying to.
So it's not happening. Yeah.
Well, I've got other projects that I'm trying to land, but it's.
You keep alluding to these projects, but you have yet to share with me what your secret projects are.
That's not true. You know, I just haven't done it here in this context, but.
Okay. All right.
But I will. I mean, mostly it's more like every time I talk about it, I get frustrated with myself because I haven't made more progress than I want to have made. Okay. So here's a theme that I want to talk about today, if you don't mind. Can I just lay one out?
Go lay it down.
I think we talked about this, we might've talked about this in episode like 4 or 5 or 6, but I think couples right now have to differentiate. So I think the podcast that we may have done before was called Conversations on Purpose. And that was maybe one of the first few that we ever did.
Sure. Yeah.
But the thesis of that one was you got to know what you're talking about. Uh-huh. You got to make sure that when you're having a conversation, that you're having the same conversation with one another. And I think where people are getting hung up right now is in this kind of three-tiered thing between dreaming out loud,
right?
Discussing, meaning vetting ideas and discern and kind of coming up with what your options are, and then deciding.
Yeah.
And I have found in my house and in many of my clients' house, one partner may be dreaming and the other one is in a decision conversation.
Yeah.
And so that conversation goes badly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the part where, maybe the last time we talked about this was this idea of, I remember when we were doing that webinar for the Gottman Institute, and this idea of like, we're sitting in the backyard. We've been in our backyard for months now. We haven't gone anywhere else. And then maybe you say, I think I want to go to Spain.
Yeah.
I think let's do Spain. And I could go, nope, too expensive. Plus already we got this trip to France planned and I don't want to do France and Spain in the same period of time. Right. Yeah. I could say that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I just crushed my wife's dream.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And so, the conversation ends right there, right?
It's like over.
It's yeah. Such an opportunity when you're dreaming. I'm so glad we're going into this because I do have, I'm really passionate about the idea of dreaming, and it is something that I am really focused on growing in myself, is not only allowing myself to dream, because if anybody's going to squash my dreams, it's going to be me first. I'm going to squash them before anybody sure. else. But also like when I reach out verbally,
I'm intimately familiar with that because that's exactly what I'm talking about with regard to my like project fatigue, just not finishing stuff. Like I'm not going to not finish something because I can't, or somebody tell me I won't. It's more going to be, not today. I'm not going to do that today.
Yeah. You are your biggest hurdle. You're the only thing keeping you from accomplishing what you want to accomplish. Sure. But with dreams, you stop. If I reach out to my partner and I say, hey, let's do Spain. This would be amazing. By the way, I had the most incredible conversation with a client, and she's a listener. And she started coming to me and saying, Laura, you know what would be really neat is we're thinking that we might want to, you know, just pick up and go. Let's just let's live out of a van. We've got our child. Let's live out of a van and let's just do
down
that. Down by the river, down by the ocean, down by the beach, whatever it might be. And I was
sorry, hold on 1 second. I want to hear the rest of the story, but do you know what I'm talking about when I say down by the river?
Yeah.
You go ahead, explain it to me because I don't think you do.
It's an SNL skit. Come on now.
Phew.
Oh my gosh.
You were like, down by the river, down by the ocean. Down. I'm like, no.
No, you don't know.
In a van. Down by the river.
River. I mean, that's a classic. Yeah, but
right on. Okay. So she wants to get up and go. You're compliant.
She wants to get up and go. And what I loved and what I kept telling her is, number one, I'm just working with her, and I've worked with she and her husband in the past, so I know of the situation. And I said, you know what I love right now? I love that what you're sharing with me is that your husband came to you and said, I have this dream. And rather than squashing his dream, you entertained it. You opened it up for discussion and you said, wow, you know what? That's super interesting. She can think of a million reasons. And we kind of went through all the reasons why picking up, leaving, selling your home, whatever it might be, living in a van down by the river with your daughter, why that might not work. But she didn't do that. Her first instinct was to hear her husband's dream and say, huh, you know what? Yeah, tell me more about that. That's cool. That's interesting. Okay. That opens it up for intimacy rather than squashing the dream. Anyway, I got really into that session. I should have picked her because I was down.
What's notable about that, and I think this is where people can also get confused, which is she said, huh, that's interesting. Tell me more. Which isn't the same as, yeah, I'll start moving some money out of our 401k so that we can buy that Airstream and get going. Yeah. And let me just call the real estate broker right now and we'll list our house. Like, it wasn't deciding. She didn't decide, yes, we're going to do this. She said, yeah, I'll pay attention to your dream. That sounds cool. And maybe she learned something about him, which is, I think, the other part.
Yeah. I also had a client who, sometimes I can't even remember where these conversations came from, but they got into trouble because they didn't differentiate between dreaming and deciding. It was, I thought we were still talking about that. And the decision was made. Like, I had told you that I bought a mountain bike for myself, and it started out as dreaming and saying to my husband, you know, it'd be really cool. I would love a mountain bike. I want to be able to ride my bike on dirt with my son. I've been running very fast recently because I don't have a bike and I've just been trying to keep up with my kid. And so we're dreaming. And then what would happen is if all of a sudden, knock, 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 I have a bike that's delivered to the front door and my husband opens the door and goes, what the hell? We didn't decide. We were still dreaming. We were still talking this through. And I do think that that's important to be able to differentiate. So do you recommend that couples say, what are we doing right now? Are we just dreaming? Are we deciding?
100%.
Oh, okay.
No, I think especially if you're not clear, if you're not clear, then, you ought to gain clarity somehow, which is to go, hey, are you serious about the bike? Because if you are, I got to tell you, like, our electric bill the last month has been way higher because we've been running the dishwasher a lot more. And maybe we need to wait like a couple of days or a couple months before we clear that. Like, that has to be part of the process. When I teach this in my client office, I say, this is how I teach it. I say, this is the best meeting you've ever been to. The meeting starts at 9:00. Everybody walks into the meeting and the guy in charge of the meeting says, hey, we got to make this decision by 9:30. We're going to talk about it for 20 minutes. There's 9 people in the room. At 9:20, we're going to vote. 5 votes wins, and we'll be out of here maybe by 9:28.
Okay.
I mean, that meeting is really efficient and clear. Even if he says, at 9:20, I'm going to go outside, I'm going to smoke a cigarette and come back and tell you what my decision is. Everybody in the room knows that for 20 minutes, your job is to discuss the options, discuss the issue.
Yeah.
And then at 9:20, everybody's clear how that decision is getting made. Mm-hmm. It might be made, you know, by a vote. It might be made by unilateral decision, but nobody is confused.
Right.
I worked in nonprofit for 10 years before I was a therapist. And I can tell you, I have very rarely went to that meeting. The meeting that I usually went to was started at 9 and everybody kind of rolled in and they said, okay, what do you think? What's on everybody's mind? And then all of a sudden it's 9:45. You're not where you're supposed to be 15 minutes ago. Decision hasn't been made. Somebody's going to make it in a vacuum. Everybody else is going to be pissed off about it. And there's not going to be buy-in. And I think that's the meeting that most couples have.
Yeah.
Which is, hold on a second. We didn't agree that you were going to buy the bike. That's not a part of the deal. We didn't thought that was, you know, and you were like, well, you didn't say anything. I mean, I talked to you about it for 45 minutes and you didn't say no. So, and then all of a sudden I'm, you know, I'm talking to some homeless guy in downtown Seattle with the, who's got a great sales pitch.
Yeah. By the way, I just want to clear my name. And I know that this is derailing what you just said, but I did go on to see if the barcode, like if anybody had reported it as stolen or a hot bike, I couldn't find any evidence of it, but I just want to clear my name. I did my due diligence.
I'm gonna go ahead and claim that I'm the reason that you did that because
it's true. Because
handful of years ago, I was training for a bike race and I was coming through when you lived on Mercer Island. I was like, hey, you want to ride the island with me? And you're like, sure thing.
Right.
So we rode, what is that, 13 miles or something?
Yep.
And we were just talking about your bike and I was getting so angry because I've had 2 bikes stolen and there's nothing worse than having your bike stolen. It feels so shitty. And yeah. I was really mad at you for buying this bike that some other guy was like kicking and screaming at you know, furniture, which is what I did when my bike was stolen, who was missing his stolen bike. But I appreciate that you tried to find out if somebody wanted it back. And
yeah,
that's the right thing.
I forgot. That's a really good memory, Zach, of, well, I just think it's a good memory of us doing something physical together, you know, like actually getting out and doing something.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have made it. I mean, I was at the end of, I think it was the end of like maybe 70 miles that day. And I don't think I would have made it around the island if you hadn't met me at that point. So
Were you trying to do like certain mileage? Were you trying?
I was training for the SCP, the Seattle to Portland race.
Did you? So. And you did do it. That's right. And didn't you go out thinking you were going to do it in 2 days and you just finished it in one?
No. We always knew we would do it in 2 days. So.
Okay. All right. Forgot.
But that, do you remember this story about how when we got to Winlock, Washington, which is the egg capital of the world? This is one of my favorite stories of all time. We walked into this bar just to get a drink, and we sat down at the table with these two locals. And we had the most amazing conversation with these two guys. It was unreal. Anyway, I'll save it for another day.
Because, wow.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
Let's bring this back on track. We have listeners that want to gain some sort of insight in their life.
Okay, so here's the other piece, right? Like between dreaming and deciding, there's discussion, right? And I think that is really different also than dreaming, because discussion is, hey, can we go back and forth about ideas, weigh pros and cons, evaluate cost, evaluate time, explore options without being a decision conversation, but it's the first 20 minutes of that meeting, right? It's the one that says, hey, what are we going to base the decision on? Mm-hmm. The dream's been established, right? The goal of Spain is clear. But are we going to base that decision on $500? Because if that's the decision, then we're just going to sit in the airport and come back home, right? If we're going to base it on 3 weeks, then we have to, that includes some other factors that need to be considered. And so I think that, again, couples get in trouble when they don't differentiate between those sort of three primary phases. I want to say this other thing about decision too, which is, I think in any relationship, there are five kinds, and I'm holding up my hand, Laura's looking at my hand. There's five kinds of decisions, and my thumb and my pinky, those are, like if Laura and I are the couple, the thumb is decision that Laura can make without any input from me. Like, do I fill up the gas tank before or after lunch?
Yeah.
Right. The pinky is decisions I can make without any input from Laura. Like, do I turn left or right out of my driveway on my way to the office?
You think you can make that decision without me, but I have an opinion. Go on.
The two middle fingers, not the middle finger, but these are decisions that I'm pretty much responsible for, but I need to ask or weigh in with my partner. Like, I can make this decision, but I need to make sure that Laura signs off on it. Laura has the responsibility for this decision ultimately, but, she needs to just let me know that decision is being factored. You know, maybe this is the mountain bike, right? Like whether or not you're going to buy a bike, like you can decide, cause maybe it's your money, but you want to make sure that you don't surprise your husband or something. Yeah. And then the middle finger is,
I'll give an example. So my mom is coming into town, right? So Ryan's going in for surgery on Monday. By the time this podcast comes out, he will have been out of surgery. But he goes in for surgery. And so I call my mom and I say, Mom, now is the time that I need you to stop isolating and come and just like be a second pair of helping hands for Holden for the week while Ryan's recovering. And I know that it's okay with my husband if my mom comes and visits, right? But she asked the question, how long can I stay? That's where I'm like, you know, I could probably make the call, but I'm going to have some input. I want my husband to have some buy-in. I want for him to be able to say a week is good, or what he responded with was as long as she wants. And so that would be kind of an example of, it's good to get your partner's input. I could have made the decision on my own and he would have been fine with it. But I know that it's like a courtesy to be able to say, hey, don't want to, you know, catch you off guard or surprise you. So what's in the middle? What's the middle finger?
It's the one that we have to make together. Like, are we going to move to Bent? You know, like nobody's pulling the trigger on that without complete buy-in from the other. Am I going to get a vasectomy? you know? Well, but here's the problem, right? I think a lot of times people get in trouble because they don't agree on what kind of decision it is. And in fact, I had a client who, whose vasectomy, they put in the kind of the second category. I'm going to make the decision, but I need to weigh in. And she was really surprised when he came home and said, oh, I got my vasectomy today. You know, like that was a challenge for them because they didn't have the, in the same category.
You know, and what comes to mind right now is where certain couples, I have some couples where they make every decision together and it slows the process down. It kind of becomes like a bottleneck, right? And then I have other couples where he makes all the decisions. His assumption is that any decision that is made, I can just make a unilateral decision and I don't need to take into account my partner. She, on the other hand, always feels like any decision she makes needs to be run by her partner. And we talk about, I mean, that's like a, I was just thinking, man, this would be an incredible conversation to be able to pose to this couple that I'm thinking of where that's the case. He makes all the decisions, never takes into account saying, hey, well, what do you think about this? And she, on the other hand, thinks I can't make any decision on my own. I need to run everything by my husband. And there, it seems to me like there is a healthy spot, or at least it's something that they both agree upon.
Or like, you got to be able to do this, right? Like I'm moving my fingers again.
It looks like a wave.
But you got to be able to like wave your fingers and move at agilely or swiftly or creatively back and forth around the thing. Because I don't think that lady probably calls when she runs, she's out running errands and says, hey babe, should I get gas before I have lunch or after I have lunch? Right? Like that's, so there is, there are some that she definitely keeps to herself, but this is the other problem about the, that meeting I was telling you about is I threw up these two scenarios, right? Like the vote was five votes wins, or then there was the unilateral one where he goes out and smokes a cigarette and comes back and tells everybody what it is. And it's hard to translate that for a couple when, like when you vote and it's 1-to-1. And so who, how are you going to make decisions? And who's responsible? Like who gets to be the authoritarian in this realm? Like I don't make decisions right now about schooling my kids because that's Rebecca's lane and I just stay out of her lane. If she asks me, I might have an opinion, but I'm not gonna, but I think, you know, where we get in trouble and where couples get in trouble is where A, we're not clear whether, which decision it is, even whether or not it's time to make a decision, and B, how that decision is getting made. So that's the other theme I think that's really critical for people in this time is to eliminate any ambiguity or confusion around what are we doing right now? Are we dreaming? Cause I'll dream with you all night long. Let me pour you another glass of wine. Cause let's see how wild this dream can get. You know, the other one is, are we deciding? Cause if we are, we should probably quit drinking because we don't make really good decisions when we're when we're, you know what I mean? Like, or let's do it tomorrow. Let's decide tomorrow because right now this fire is really nice and I don't really want to pull out my spreadsheet. This is where I think it's really critical to have conversations on purpose.
I like this. So it's, I mean, first of all, this is new information for me. I know we've kind of talked about it, but it's, I almost feel like I know everything under the sun that you're going to say because we've been working together for so long, but I love the dreaming, discussing, deciding, and then talking about what are we doing right now? Are we in the dreaming phase? And now can we move into the discussing phase? And I like the difference between dreaming and discussing. The differentiation I make is that dreaming is no limits. It is just, I'm just going to tell you what I would love and I'm going to unlock that. And it might scare you, but it doesn't mean I'm going to stop dreaming. Discussing is, okay, now let's put this back into reality. It's come out of the clouds for a second, put it on earth and figure out like, what are the limitations that we're working within? And then deciding is, how do we make a decision? Like what I think you said is if it's one against one, how do we decide, you know, what gets decided here?
Well, and I think, I mean, no, I think you're exactly right, but it is a challenge. And I think that's where there's a little bit of negotiation because decisions have consequences. And you, as long as you're willing to kind of live with the consequences, then I think we need to, you know, just allow those decisions to factor out. And I want to say too, that I think particularly in this era, this kind of COVID-19 era or social isolation era, whatever you want to call it, we're finding that many of the decisions that we thought were huge before mm-hmm. aren't as big as we thought they were. Mm-hmm. And maybe when we come out of this thing, we'll be a little more open-handed with kind of what gets decided and by whom and, you know, all that stuff. I hope so.
Yeah. Well, I think this has been interesting. Zach, I just have to pay you a compliment, which does not happen very often, but I think you are a really smart man. And I enjoyed learning from you today. Preach.
Appreciate it. Well, I think you look exactly like Elsa.
Thank you. That is a common theme that came up on our Vanity Fair YouTube video. If you're looking for something to watch, you can see what Zach and Laura look like in real life in our home offices. Mine's a home office.
Laura has not wanted to read the comments, and I think that's wise because there's tons of trolls, but there don't happen to be on this, this comment thread. I just keep sending her the ones that are very complimentary of Laura.
And I think the strangest one was about my eyelid crease, right?
Can you just say how her eyelid crease is on point? It's like only in Vanity Fair.
Only in Vanity Fair. I don't even know what an eyelid crease. So yeah. I told my husband
that. Hold on. This is my other personal favorite.
Hold on. I have to tell a story about the eyelid crease. I go to my husband. I say, hey, Zach just sent me this text and this is what it said. And he reads it and he goes, yeah, your eyelid creases are big enough to put nerds in. They're like the little nerd candies. He's not talking about my eyelid crease. He's talking about my crow's feet. Okay. Two different things. They are not wrinkles. An eyelid crease is where you put your makeup line on your eyelid. Just saying.
All right. So this is the comment that's immediately under that one, which is Laura Heck is great. I just wish Vanity Fair didn't team her up with that loser.
Hey, he's my loser. Got it?
I'm a loser.
They didn't team me up. I purposefully teamed up with my loser and we brought ourselves to Vanity Fair. All right. Let's land this plane.
I love it. I love that you found a new catchphrase. Let's land this plane. That's my favorite new thing that you say now.
Thanks. All right. Yeah. Well, two compliments. Must be a good day. All right. Adios, guys.
See you later.
All right. Let's do your intro.
Big enough to put nerds in.
Oh my God. Okay. I remember laughing so hard. We were playing Monopoly one time and my husband picks up the little iron. Do you know what I'm talking about? The little iron piece in Monopoly. It's one of
pieces.
And he proceeds to pretend like he's ironing out my eye creases. Jeez. I laughed so hard, but I have been really, really paranoid. Botox and I are going to become best friends because my husband is now ironing my eyelid creases.
There's not a lot of good reasons to live in Sweden, but the flag is a big plus.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. And just to remind you, we have a deadline coming up. If you are wanting to participate, if you are a lady in a relationship, and you want to participate in the Epic Wives Experiment, this is your last opportunity to register. So hop on to laurasexperiment.com, LAURAS experiment.com. We close registration on May 17th. So hop to it. Can't wait to see you. As always, thank you so much for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.